Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, I just have to give a shout out to every single one of you who participated in our Winter Share campaign last week. We were absolutely blown away by your participation, your generosity, your hearts of prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Cannot thank you enough. We are so excited about what God is doing and into the ministry of Faith Radio, and that fruit is your fruit. God bless you, and thank you for that. So this is the holiday season, and do you notice how it's always mixed with kind of a bittersweetness, joy, and sorrow? Kind of reminds me of a conversation I had with Kay Warren when she was on the show a while back, when she said, you know, we look for these joys and we want them to be untarnished completely, but they just never are on this side of eternity. She said, picture it like two train track rails. You know, one is joy, one is sorrow. They always seem to run together. But if you look at a train track into the distance, the two become one. And one day in eternity, we'll just know joy. The sorrow will fade away. But even now, maybe you're excited because one of your kids is falling in love, but you're brokenhearted because another one of your kids' relationship is falling apart. Maybe you're excited that your kids are coming home for the holidays, but you're sorrowful because you've got a family member with cancer. You are not a have-not. You are not alone. This is life story right now for so many. And so I want you to stay tuned because we're going to talk about how to hear from God in a deep and fresh way from the Psalms. Vic Black is joining me again here in just a moment. The title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. He unpacks the Psalms. He does a little bit of teaching. Then he turns around and writes them in first person as if God himself were speaking to your heart. We've got three copies of this book to get into your hands today. So just know that throughout this conversation, because maybe this is just what you need to find perspective again. You are not alone. If you're walking in sorrow and in joy, even David, King David, walked through such things. And it's a time to be leaning in and listening to what the Lord would have to say to you during this time. I will get Vic on in just a moment, but we've got to remind you, because this is so hugely important, that we are honored and blessed to be partnering with Angel Tree again this year. Angel Tree is a very important ministry that reaches out to children whose parents are in prison. So for $73, we will help reach five children with a Christmas gift, message of the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Such an important ministry, and what they do bears fruit. I mean, telling you story after story we hear of children who received a gift as a surprise with a message from their parent, and that was one of those God moments that they later reconnected with and themselves got into ministry to help families who have kids whose parents are in prison. One story after another. Let's listen to one of the Angel Tree stories.
Christina doesn't remember a time when her father wasn't in prison.
My name is Christina Allen. I'm 24 years old. My father was incarcerated when I was 3 years old for murder, burglary, and arson. And he's not scheduled to get out of prison until 2038.
But Christina did have someone she could count on. A mother who kept the family together and even organized anxious trips to the prison for a little girl to see her daddy.
The times going in to the prison, my focus was more so on going to visit daddy, more so than the strip search and everything else that encompasses those visits, because it's daddy, and no matter what, little girls love their fathers.
Daddy was someone Christina visited twice a year. Mommy was the consistent presence in her life, until just after Christina's 12th birthday.
I didn't realize how big of an impact my father's incarceration played until I was 12 years old and my mom passed away.
Now alone, Christina's thoughts turned to her father in prison.
Because I didn't have him there, I began to build up a lot of hatred in my heart towards him.
As a young teenager, Christina was looking for something, anything she could count on. That first Christmas after her mother died, there was a knock on the door, and she realized there was something that had been consistent for just about all her life. Angel Tree. Prison Fellowship had not missed a single year.
It made me feel special inside. Every year, he would send me a gift through Angel Tree, and it's something I grew to expect every Christmas.
Because she had not been forgotten by Angel Tree, Christina realized she had not been forgotten by God.
I realized that God had never turned his back on me. He was always there to keep me safe from harm. I had to give him back the only thing that I had that was worthy, and that was my life.
What has God done with that surrendered life? Christina earned an MBA by age 22. With her husband, she launched an Angel Tree outreach at their university and their home church. But part of her will always be an Angel Tree kid. She still cherishes her favorite Angel Tree gift, a jewelry box from her dad.
I began to hold items that were near and dear to my heart inside of it. I kept the ID card that I took with me when I visited my dad. I also kept jewelry that my mom gave me before she passed away. To me, it was always a box that I could go to for small but great memories of my mom and my dad. Although they were gone, they still lived in my heart.
For hurting children across America, Angel Tree gifts confirm they are not forgotten. This Christmas, would you help a boy or girl like Christina know there is hope and a future?
Give a gift, change a life. Isn't it amazing how personally Christina was impacted by somebody's gift? So if you need more information on Angel Tree, we'd love for you to get involved. It's on our website, myfaithradio.com. One other quick announcement before we get Vic Black on to talk about hearing God in the Psalms, hearing his voice. Can't wait to talk about this. It's great giveaway. It's this Thursday, and this is a Live the Promise special promotion. We do this every year, and it's just our heart to see everybody mobilize, thousands of you mobilize, to get out of your comfort zone and do something kind for someone. The question you'll see on the show page is, what's the best thing you can do with $15? That's just an arbitrary number. If you have more, if you have less, do what you can with what's in your hand. But get out of your comfort zone. Engage in a random act of kindness, whether that means crossing the street and bringing a pie to a shut-in neighbor, or donating to a homeless shelter downtown, or sending it to a third world mission somewhere on the other side of the world. That's between you and God. But this Thursday, we're dedicating both hours of the show to hear you come back from your mission field and tell us about your story. Everybody who gets on the air will get some Christmas candy and a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. Two of the most inspiring stories will get a great gift basket put together by yourself, yours truly, me. I love to do that. And so two of you will get a great gift basket, just our way of saying thank you for being the hands and feet of Christ. So a lot of big stuff going on right now. Tis the season to be the hands and feet of Christ. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Vic Black is the National Prayer Director for the Navigators. He's been on staff with the Navigators for 34 years. He and his wife, Lindy, have 3 married children, 8 grandchildren, and they live in the Springs. And we are so honored to have him back on the show. Vic, thanks for joining us again today.
I'm happy to be here, Susie, but I have to correct that last number. It's 9 grandchildren now.
Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. You're a blessed man indeed, aren't you?
Truly, I am.
That's so great. I have none, but that's okay. I'm not bitter. Anyway, so tell me this. Is there a verse that you've been camping on these days you can share with us?
Yes, in Psalm 145, it's just really gripped me. It's a little bit more than one verse. I could share maybe just the first 4, if that's okay. It says, "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts."
Talk about that passage.
So
I'm just letting you read to me.
Yeah.
I'm going, oh, it's like balm for my soul. It's so good.
It is. It's just such a reminder of who God is and who we are and the correct. And it's like an invitation to know God and to know him well and to know him accurately, and so that our circumstances do not determine for us who God is. God is who he says he is, and my circumstances need to adjust themselves to that reality.
You know, this is so huge, and I can't wait to even have you unpack just how the book was first inspired in your heart, Vic. But I want you to speak for a moment about this whole limited attention span we've cultivated in our day. You know, we love these sound bites, and we love anything that accommodates our short attention span. But you even address that in the book. I want you to talk about how you make the shift to a more focused, purposeful, a willingness to wait on God kind of a mindset.
Well, I haven't thought of it until you asked this question, Susie, but perhaps if we're interacting with God in a sound bite culture, then I'm not saying God can't and won't speak to us, but he probably will speak to us in sound bites because he can use anything and everything to speak to us. You look through Scripture and see all the different ways that God spoke to his people, some of them rather hilarious. He spoke through a donkey. And certainly he spoke through the prophets, and in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, and now we have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us and lives in us. But I just think we want to get on the page with God rather than expecting God to get on the page with us. And so we want God to fit into our mindset, into our lifestyle, into our perspective. And he needs to answer us when we ask a question rather than us adjusting ourselves to him and even praying the prayers of the Bible, which are absolutely fascinating in and of themselves, because they are all about me adjusting to God in relationship. So it's not about me getting something. It's about me transitioning, me changing, me adjusting to him to know him the way he wants to be known.
You know, Vic, I know something so dear to your heart and mine as well, but the whole idea of cultivating that kind of a posture before God where we give him time and space to speak to us. Explain maybe what the person is missing who's just been living in a soundbite type of relationship with God. I mean, what God beckons us to that's so much more but requires more time and space in our lives.
Yeah. Well, the first word that comes to my mind, Susie, is just the word comfort. And just the comfort of being with him, the comfort of not rushing into God's presence to get something from God in the moment and then rushing back out, but rather just coming into the presence of God, opening our eyes to the reality that Isaiah saw in his vision of God in Isaiah 6, but realizing it's even much more magnificent than that for us, because Jesus has fulfilled all that God required for us to stand before him clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So just to relax and to enjoy and to be comforted and to be relational and receive from God what he has for us in that moment, rather than charging into the presence of God to get what we think we must have in that moment.
It's
an entirely different perspective.
It so is. And I'm wondering if you can think of any time even recently where he maybe surprised you. You gave him room and time to speak to you, Vic, about a need or a burden on your heart, and he just dropped an insight into your soul that maybe surprised you. I'm totally putting you on the spot there. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Do you want to go make a sandwich and think about it?
I just think, again, it's just even when I'm away from him and I even get a little bit comfortable being away from him, which I hate to say, but it's true for all of us. And then when you turn to come back to him, you realize he didn't go anywhere. Mm. He's right there following right behind you. And there's nothing you can do to separate yourself from his love. Even though we can turn our faces away from him and walk away, he's walking right behind us, right with us, even in us, certainly. And he's never going to leave us. There's nothing we can do to separate ourselves from him. We think we're the most powerful thing in the universe, because the end of Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it goes through this giant list of things. And yet we think we're powerful enough to separate ourselves from the love of God. And God's like, nope, it's a complete impossibility. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And it doesn't matter what you do. I'm right here loving you just like I always have.
Isn't that the best news this season? Talking to Vic Black. Title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. Such a beautiful devotional book. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. If you've got a question about praying scripture, a question about your own prayer life, or just if Vic and I can stand with you, we would absolutely love to do that. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, or with Vic Black when we come back. Today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Vic Black. He's National Prayer Director for Navigators. The title of his beautiful book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. And here's a great excerpt. I'd love for you to comment on it, Vic. You write, there is freedom and peace in waiting, listening, and soaking in a psalm. Allow God to speak. Trust him. Give yourself permission to listen and not put words in God's mouth. He doesn't need your help to speak. Say more about that, Vic.
It just kind of brings a chuckle to my heart, because it makes me think of when we have a conversation with a friend, and we might ask the friend a question, but before the friend can answer the question, we answer it for them, and we think we know what they would say. And I think in a similar way, I'm guilty of doing the same thing with God. And when I ask him a question, do I not go ahead and answer it for him, or do I wait? The Bible says a lot about waiting, and the waiting is a very expectant waiting, the way that it's defined in the Bible. And we wait with a strong expectation that God will say what he needs to say, not necessarily what I want him to say. And sometimes I even end up writing in my journal. I try to write in my journal in two colors, what I say and what God says. And so when I shift to write what God's saying from the Word, usually, sometimes he might say something like, I didn't answer that question like you thought I would, did I? And yet he answers the question beautifully, and it absolutely meets the need of my heart at that moment, but it wasn't even what I was seeking for. And so I always have to adjust myself to wait and to trust him for what he will say, what he will do. I'm in the middle of one of those turmoil circumstances right now, and just simply needing to wait and listen to the Lord and hear his voice.
You know, after you've walked with the Lord a number of years and you've found yourself in these times, at least this has been true for me, it's not comfortable, but I've really learned that those waiting seasons are opportunities for intimacy. So we can either strive and get full of angst, or we can say, you know, in this not yet, there's an opportunity to know you more. I mean, you found that too, haven't you?
Absolutely. And I think one of the disciplines that I try to practice, I'm not necessarily that great at it, but I know I need to work at it, is silence and solitude. Mm. And just be with the Lord and not feel like I have to say anything, but just simply be with him. And so there's certainly waiting involved in being with him. And it doesn't mean I'm with him with my Bible open, reading and studying and searching or anything like that. It's just being with him in calmness and silence and trust and solitude, which is sometimes hard to find in our culture. But that's when he meets me in my deepest places.
I don't remember which 1800 dead guy quote wrote this, but he talked about, you know, that people who have a depth of wisdom always have a deep well of intimacy with God. In other words, times of solitude, times of being quiet and waiting, that you can't impart those kinds of things from skimming the surface, you know?
No.
Well, you know, we've walked a long time. You and I talked about this last time you were on. It's easy to skim over passages that you've read 1,000 times. And you say this in your book, and it's something God's been talking to me about lately as well, is to not, because I think once you feel like you know it, then you try to read it for maybe for someone else. This would help this person, so to speak, where God's been grabbing my face and saying, no, know this deeper. Read this for yourself on a deeper level. There are just more depths. It doesn't even matter how long we've walked with God. I mean, there are greater treasures to mine in every passage in Scripture, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you really touched on a very excellent point there, too, is that sometimes we have preconceived notions about what is in a passage and that it's actually for somebody else. And we, I think we're geared that way to try to help someone else in their walk with Christ. And that's wonderful. But sometimes when we're in that mode too consistently, we miss the deeper things that God has for us right there in the same place.
And so you say, you encourage your readers to live on a psalm for a period of time. I want you to talk about what that even looks like for a person who doesn't even know the first thing about what do I do when I get there? How do they do that?
Well, I would just say pick one of your favorites first. You don't have to start with some dark psalm that you don't know anything about. So maybe there's a favorite. And so maybe if you don't have a favorite, then just pick Psalm 23, because that's pretty quickly a favorite for most of us. And just become comfortable in it. You know, whether you have a Bible study computer system or a couple different translations of the Bible, open them up in front of you and just slowly pour over that psalm in each translation and begin to see the nuances between the translations. Maybe you've got a notepad and you jot a couple of notes down. Maybe there's some footnotes, and you maybe some of those really grab you. Like one of the ones in Psalm 23 for me is, he leads them in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And that word path in the footnote says tracks, literally, L-I-T, period, tracks. And I'm like, tracks? I mean, that's a footprint. A track is a footprint. So I'm like, whose footprint is it? It's the footprint of the shepherd. And so here I am following the righteous footprints of the shepherd that are laid out right in front of me for me to literally see and follow in his footsteps. And then all kinds of imagery begins to come into play, like a little kid walking behind his daddy or her daddy on the beach. And kids inevitably will try to put their feet where their parents put their feet, and the footsteps are much further apart. It's kind of funny to watch, but it's just a fun thing for the kid to do. And so just to see just elements of intimacy like that God is drawing us into when we slow down, and I like to say soak in a psalm. I want to begin to smell like that psalm and taste like that psalm. And I want to hear what's going on in the context, like in the Psalm 23 of the sheep bleeding in the distance there and the smell of the sheep and everything else. I mean, the more that I can enter into that, I think the more accurately I might be able to write in response to that.
So good. I remember studying that he makes my way perfect. If I remember, I think that's in Psalm 18. Part of what that means is that he unfetters us. You think of a sheep that gets caught up in a thicket, but he gets us free from all of us stuff that just trips us up and hooks us up so that we can have this unfettered way to travel. He makes my way perfect. I mean, that's just giving me feet like the feet of a deer. When you start to take a deeper look, boy, you see what you possess in him. So great. Talking to Vic Black today, title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. We're going to look at some of those psalms and read some of Vic's first-person accounts. I think I'll bless you greatly. Feel free to chime in if you want to call us, 877-93-FAITH, or email suzy@myfaithradio.com.
Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Vic Black today. The title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. If you're in a place where you just need to be revived in your spirit, you want to read the Word with a fresh sense of what God is saying to you, love to get a copy of Speak, Lord, into your hands. Get a few copies. You want to chime into the conversation, ask Vic a question, or just tell us what's on your heart today. We could pray with you. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. So I mentioned Psalm 18. One of my go-to verses is, from Psalm 18. You give me your shield of victory. Your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. And Vic, I love this. You said when you were looking at Psalm 18, you said, once again, a picture began to form as I meditated on the psalm. I was facing a particularly difficult period of enemy attack in my life. As I soaked in Psalm 18, I saw myself in an epic battle, much like a scene from Braveheart or Lord of the Rings. The enemy was everywhere. I controlled my little hill, valiantly swinging my sword against the onslaught of the enemy. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see Jesus flashing a mighty sword, taking out 4 and 5 of the enemy with one blow. It was comforting to know we were fighting the same battle. Talk a little bit more. I'm going to have you. Do you have the book in front of you, by the way?
I certainly do.
Yeah, and that's on page XXX is where you first person that Psalm 18. First, just speak to that psalm, what it meant to you, and I'd love for you to read a portion of your first person account of Psalm 18.
Well, I think sometimes, Susie, we read the Psalms in such a distracted way or detached way, and I think God means these Psalms for us. Yes, it was about David's life and Moses' life and the others who are authors in there of the Psalms, but it's like his experience with God in Psalm 18 is our invitation from God into a deeper experience in our turmoils and in our battles. And if we let him, God will literally draw us into that reality and just blow our minds with his presence and with his words of strength and reassurance, for instance, here as in Psalm 18 in the middle of a battle.
Are you ready to read to us? Do you have it open?
Sure.
Okay, I'd love it.
Let's see.
It's XXX, if that helps you.
Yes, I've got it.
Okay.
So this is God speaking. You always have to remind yourself of that. I hear you say, I love you. It's music to my ears. I love to hear you say it. I especially love to see you demonstrate your love for me. I am progressively becoming your strength. You are relying more and more on me and less on your strength. That's good. Now my power can reside in your weakness. I am your rock, your safe place, and your refuge. But I am not only your stationary rock. I reach out and rescue you. I deliver you and pull you into my safety. I am the shield that blocks the blows designed to destroy you. I am the horn that sounds, announcing my location and presence, so you can simply run toward the sound. I am your stronghold. You can call upon me because I am worthy of your praise. When you call upon me, I respond and save you from your enemies. And this is when it really begins to get intense. I was not unaware, God says. I was watching as the cords of death entangled you and began to tie you up and choke you. Your terror mounted. Your fear overwhelmed you as the torrents of destruction and godlessness rained down on you. The cords of the grave were reaching up for you, coiling around you like a living snake. The traps and snares of death were in your face, confronting you, reaching out for you. You couldn't see the light because these aggressive cords of evil had completely wrapped you up in darkness. Then you cried out to me for help. In your distress, you called out in desperation for deliverance. I heard you. From the depth of your entangled mess, your cries for help reached my ears. Your scream was heard in my throne room. Then all heaven broke loose. I didn't send my warring angels to your rescue. I came myself. My response to your cry caused earthquakes. The very foundations of mountains trembled at my anger. Smoke poured forth from my nostrils. Fire shot from my mouth, devouring everything in my path. I threw back the curtain of heaven, and I came down. Dark clouds were under my feet. I mounted the cherubim and rode them. I flew upon the mighty angels. I soared to your rescue on the wings of the wind. I covered myself with thick darkness. The clouds boiled in advance before me as the brilliance of my presence pushed them. Hail and bolts of lightning poured forth from the clouds. I thundered from the heavens. My voice echoed through the skies. I shot my arrows and scattered your enemies. Great bolts of lightning confused and routed them. When my rebuke was heard, the valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundations of the earth laid bare. Everything was revealed. My fingers wrapped around you securely. I lifted you out of deep waters. I rescued you from your powerful enemy, from those who hated you, from those too mighty for you, from those bent on killing you.
Such a powerful psalm. So, Vic, tell me in a practical way, how you went about to just writing this in first person. Was this over time, or could you not write fast enough as you started to soak in this psalm? How did that go for you?
I probably can't remember this exact circumstance of writing this psalm, but I know that I kind of referred to it as an unfamiliar psalm. It wasn't a psalm that I had necessarily lived in, quote unquote, but I remember a friend of mine and I had just decided to read through some of the psalms, as we often do, and he chose this Psalm 18. And it just met me at that point of need in my circumstances. And so I decided just to really dive into it and live in this psalm for a period of time. I think it's one of those psalms that the picture of God moving in such a dramatic way from heaven to come to earth to rescue me, to wrap his fingers around me and lift me out of the destruction, I think we tend to look at that as, well, that's just kind of all symbolic, isn't it? That's just God writing this amazing thing, or David's imagination getting the best of him and just running away. But there's an unseen world that we don't know what's going on in that unseen world. Elijah prayed that his servants' eyes would be open because they were surrounded by this warring army. And his servant was concerned because they probably weren't going to get out of this circumstance alive. But Elijah didn't seem to be upset at all. And Elijah prayed that the Lord would open his servant's eyes, not that the Lord would open his eyes. And so he opened the servant's eyes and he saw chariots of fire and horses of fire and warring angels on the hillside surrounding them, facing the army that was coming against them.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I have to stop and think, does that go on all the time? Mm. Are those kinds of circumstances happening now? And are they happening on my behalf when I'm in a tight place like this, like David was, and I cry out to God for his rescue in the unseen world? Could it be the reality that he actually comes to my rescue like this?
And imagine that. I mean, truly imagine, even if the enemy of our souls sees that Calvary Mountain before we do, but he sees the help coming, and he takes the opportunity to sow even more discouragement. You know, you never know. Mm-hmm. But when I think about that passage in Psalm 18, that my cry reached his ears, it just makes my knees buckle, because he's running the universe, but my cry reaches his ears. All the more reason to be praying the scripture and trusting with an expectancy that he hears us, right?
That's absolutely right, Susie. It is.
877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We've got three copies of Vic's book, Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. We've got Sue calling in from Minneapolis. Sue, welcome. You're on the air with Vic Black.
Oh, thank you, Susie. When you mentioned that you could have sorrow and joy commingling together, it brought tears to my eyes, and I've just been listening with my heart welling up because recently I have an 18-year-old son who has had issues with a brain problem, and we were just recently told that it's a degenerative brain disease, and he's 18.
Mm.
And I've taken a lot of comfort in Psalm 139, that God knows every cell in his body, and he knit him together in my womb, and that he's fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right. That's right. So, Vic, I don't know if her voice is going in and out, and if you heard, but her son, who's 18, was just diagnosed with a brain disorder, and it's degenerative. And she's taking comfort in Psalm 139, just praying that he was knit together in Sue's womb. First of all, Sue, you're going to get a copy of Vic's book, Speak, Lord. But I'm wondering, Vic, if you have any words for Sue, but then if you would pray for her as well.
Well, I mean, again, God wants us to bring our sorrows to him. God wants us to bring our heartaches to him. And yet Jesus teaches us to pray, literally in the Lord's Prayer, for heaven to come to earth. And in heaven, this circumstance would not be the reality that your son is experiencing now.
That's right.
And I just simply try to follow the way Jesus teaches us to pray in those cases. So I would love to pray for your son right now.
Thank you, Sponsor.
Go ahead, Vic.
Father, we come before you as the God of all creation, as the God who did, in fact, weave this young man in Sue's womb when he was just an infant and an embryo being formed for the glory of God and the image of God. And Lord, now you live in him in the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask you to go to this place in his brain and to bring wholeness, to bring healing, to bring complete health, and to be glorified in the process. I pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done on earth in this young man's brain right now in this degenerative context, just like it is in heaven, that he would be healed, that you'd be glorified, and that you would just draw many people to yourself through the process. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Can I just say I have been proclaiming exactly what you just said. It's on my chalkboard at home that he is healthy, healed, and whole in Jesus' name.
Sue, thank you. Thank you for calling, and I'm excited for you to get Vic's book. You can pray your way through the Psalms and be very encouraged. Keep us posted on how your son's doing, okay?
Oh, bless you. Thank you. I will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Here's another quote from Vic's book. I believe God instructs us through the Psalms to righteously, humbly pour out our hearts to him in such a way that deeply benefits our souls, our spiritual well-being, and our growth. And that's such a good point, Vic, that holding it in is not good for us. Pouring it out before the Lord with an earnest, expectant heart actually strengthens us in our sorrow and hardship. Maybe speak to that if you would.
Well, it's just one of the things that I think is very key in the Psalms. And by pouring out our hearts, I would also say, and I think I say there in that quote, that we need to do that following the instruction of God, rather than me just going with the rawness and the desperation of my heart to God. I can take that emotion to God in the way God has actually taught me and guided me in doing so. And I think Psalm 42 is one of my favorite go-to examples for that. And so David in this psalm is experiencing despair, disillusionment, discouragement. His world is falling apart. His tears have been his food day and night, while people are mocking him, saying, "Where is your God now, Christian, in these terrible circumstances?" And then he goes through this process of remembering how he used to lead the procession into the house of God. Then he talks to his soul. In verse 5, he says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God." So he's actually instructing his soul. And then in verse 6, he talks to God about his soul. And he says, "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you." And he goes through these, what I would call milestones in his life, of places where God has proven himself over and over and over again. And so rather than his current circumstances determining for him who God is, he goes to those milestones because his current circumstances are hard to interpret. But the milestones are safe and secure and solid in his history with God. And we all have milestones. So I go to my milestones. You can go to your milestones and be reminded and remember those times where God really showed up and proved himself when your world seems to be falling apart.
Absolutely good news. You have a history with God. Remember, God says that over and over again. Remember what he's done, because we have a history with him, which implies we have a future with him too. When we come back, we're going to talk about our relationship with the Bible. Our perspective, Vic says, on is the word just strictly God's laws to be obeyed, or is it also an invitation for a mind-blowing relationship? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Don't go away. More with Vic Black when we return.
This time we've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected? So we might
just so moving when you think about that Jesus stepped out of the heavenly realm and put himself in the womb of a teenage girl to come to us to the depths of our need so he could save us and he could redeem us. He could redeem our story. So wherever you're facing today, know this, that Jesus came to earth and he defeated sin and death and he stands in victory so we can walk in victory. I'm talking to Vic Black today about the power of praying the Psalms. The title of his book is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person. And I just put this up on my son's bathroom mirror because I thought it was so good. And you wrote, how we view the Bible, whether strictly as God's laws to be obeyed, which is true, but limited, or as God's letter of invitation to an ultimate, mind-blowing relationship, will determine our motivation to focus our delight, our pleasure, our thrill on hearing from God in his living and active word. That is a mouthful. It is so powerful. But our approach to Scripture, which is up for grabs, it seems, in this culture among Christians, Vic, today in a very alarming way, speak to how important that connection and our perspective of Scripture is to our prayer life and how we fare spiritually.
Well, it is absolutely crucial, Susie, and how we handle the Word of God, how we respect the Word of God, how we live in the Word of God, and how we allow it to live in us is absolutely essential to walking with God for a lifetime. And I do sincerely believe that what God has given here is literally the book that he wrote, and he only wrote one. And you can take this book and go out to the interstate and place it on the right-hand side of the white line and place all the other books ever written on the other side of the white line on the opposite side, and no book belongs in the same place that this book belongs. This is the only book that God wrote. It is truly alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce as deep as a division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow and judge the thoughts and intention of our heart. I believe, like A.W. Tozer said, that a word of God once spoken continues to be spoken. So do I receive the word as I open it at any moment as the currently spoken word of God for me for that day, for that moment? That is absolutely essential to that love relationship that God is extending to me. If I have a barrier of unbelief or just negligence or anything else covering my approach to the Bible, then I need to cry out to God to break through that and to really speak to me from the Word and make it come alive like only he can make it come alive.
Well, Vic, how do you pray for, I mean, I know you and I both pray for Christians around the world, but you think of the departures even in our country from Scripture, from key leading Christians at times. Speak to that. How do you pray? Because the integrity of Scripture cannot be diminished, and yet you have even, you know, I won't say what college it is, but one of my sons was at a Christian college. Of course, not University Northwestern St. Paul. I'm just saying, not that one. But the professor actually said in my son's class that Jesus didn't actually walk on water. They were sandbars. And I thought, huh,
unbelievable.
Takes more faith to believe that, because that's not in there than it does to actually take it for how it was written. But tell me your perspective, how you pray when you consider so many of the liberties people are taking with God's word these days.
Wow. Well, I think I like to go to the portions of Scripture that actually speak about the Scripture. Psalm 19, Psalm 119, the other places in the New Testament where we can zero in on that. And pray those things for those people. Just pray God's mercy is often where I begin, because you know they're in a place where they desperately need the mercy of God, and to give them those things that they could never get to otherwise, and that God would just break through, that he would invade their lives if in fact he does live in their lives, but if he doesn't live in their life, that he would come to live in their life.
Mm.
And then a lot of times I just pray the prayers of Scripture, and that has become fascinating to me. And one of my favorites is in Ephesians 3:14-21. It's just one of my go-to prayers, which is fine to say we don't know what to pray for someone. And I think that's maybe one of the best places we can be when we think, I don't know what to pray for someone in this situation. Then the go-to prayer is literally a prayer of God for people, because all scripture is inspired by God. So that's not just Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. That's God's prayer for all believers.
So good. And some, you know, some may be thumbing their noses saying, I'm going to cherry pick my theology. But others kind of come there by hardships, by maybe family relationship breakdowns, you know what I'm saying, where we adjust our theology to our heartbreak and our experience, where we have to change it to make it fit because we can't bear the other. And you say this is so good. You said, do not allow your circumstances to determine for you who God is and where he is. Let God be who he says he is and adjust your belief to that anchor. Your little boat may be bobbling in the ocean of life's turmoil, but be careful that you don't cut the rope to your anchor by allowing your circumstances to dictate to you who God is. Such a powerful comment, and we've got a couple minutes before we pray. Would you speak to that whole issue, if you would?
Well, I think it's exactly what I'm saying there, is like the Psalm 42 example. God is who he says he is, and so how well do I know him? And I've recently been going through the I Am statements of Jesus in John, and it's just fascinating how God is just pouring his heart out. I want you to know me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's got a whole story wrapped around that. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. And he's got a whole story wrapped around that. And so he is extending himself to us, saying, I am, I am, I am, and I want you to know me in this way. Throughout Psalms, throughout the Old Testament, certainly, you know, God is just literally revealing himself progressively throughout the centuries, and now here we sit at our point in history getting to look back on all of those wonderful revelations of God himself that others before us didn't have the privilege of doing, because not all of that had been revealed at that time. And so it's just amazing to me how God just cries out to be known by us and to be our God in the midst of this world that just doesn't work without God.
We are definitely in a world that doesn't work without God. Vic, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your heart and your insights. As we get ready to wrap up, I'm wondering if you would pray for each and every one of us, that we would dare to hit the brakes, push pause, to stop our striving so that we can more deeply know that he is God. Would you pray?
Absolutely. Father, we do come before you, and we cry out for mercy, that especially in this Christmas season, we might truly experience your embrace, you reaching out and drawing us into your heart, us not thinking that we have to work our way to you, but that we might rest in you and abide in you and listen to you, and that you might speak your words of life, your words of love, your words of identity and security and significance to us, that we might walk in the fullness of who you say we are as sons and daughters of the Most High God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We wish you the merriest, most blessed Christmas this season, Vic, and we thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie, and the same right back to you.
God bless you, sir. Title of his book, again, is Speak, Lord, Hearing Psalms in the First Person.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. Searching.
you forget everything else this season, remember this. He's a good father, and you're loved by him. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. Coming up for Hour 2, we're going to talk about what to do when you or your spouse are addicted to pornography. Obviously, this is not a conversation for young ears, so maybe get them busy, but we've got another powerful hour of Live the Promise coming up next. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.